Hey, if you're new with us, welcome to Vintage Church North. Vintage Church North, we've been around for about 6.5 years now. It's a pretty amazing thing. God is doing amazing things in this family. If you're new with us, we would love for you to consider sticking around with us for the next six weeks. Get to know who we are, what God's doing in our church. If you need a home, this would just be, we'd love to have you. If not, there are an amazing number of just incredibly healthy churches around here. We want to see you get connected. So if we could do that for you, then we want to help you. If it's here, if it's around, our community just has an amazing number of incredible churches. So let us help you get connected. And if it's here, we'd love that. Today, you heard the passage that was read. We've talked about this in our Philippians series, this Obey Love series, this passage every single week. So this week, we're coming to the passage itself that we've talked about. Man, Paul, in this book of Philippians, his mind just goes to Christ. I mean, he just wants people to live like Christ lived. Today, we have this incredible passage here that was actually probably one of the first hymns that the church ever sang. Paul's part of this from verses 5 to 11. Was probably in hymn, an early church hymn that probably started really soon after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. All we know is this is one of Paul's earliest letters, and this hymn already exists. This is like a really early hymn. So what we just sang, you know, behind us, this was getting sung, verses 5 through 11, in the early churches. So Paul's quoting a hymn here. And this hymn is about the mind of Christ, or you could say the mind of God. Think about that. We are being let in this passage to the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Paul in this letter has already told us that there's kind of two paths that we can follow. Self. Or Christ. And what I want to talk about today is you have two options in you to have the mind of Christ in you, which is the mind of love, or you can have the mind of self. The mind of Christ is this mind that's incredibly and deeply secure. The mind of Christ is deeply secure in the love that God has for them. This mind is a mind that leads to complete freedom. It's a mind that knows that they are incredibly loved by God, that there is nothing that they could do or not do to be removed from that. And that love then can now be poured out from them, from their lives, towards others. The mind of self is a mind that is deeply insecure. Insecurity actually drives this person. Their identity, when you have the mind of self, your identity is driven by like doing, kind of production, having, like you want to have a lot of things because that's gonna show who you are. Or you need a lot of relationships to kind of prove, hey, I'm kind of big time. People know me. Those lies of identity, Henry Nouwen would call them the lie of believing you are what you do, you are what you have, and you are kind of what others think about you. That's what drives the mind of self, is an insecurity to like prove they are something. But again, the mind of Christ is this life of deep security. And we get to see that in Christ himself. He was just deeply secure. And that security allowed him to empty himself. The writer says to become nothing. This is the way that Paul is saying Philippians. Have that mind in you. Have that mind in you. And so this morning, I want to pray. I want to ask God to show us the mind of Christ, to reveal to us where we might have just the mind of self, the mind of sin in us that is just so deeply insecure and looking to be fulfilled by what I do, what I have, or kind of what people think about me. I mean, we've been set free from that in Christ. And today, I want to challenge you to really consider that if you belong to Christ, you have this mind. You have the mind of Christ. And to encourage us to walk by it. Let's pray and let's ask God to show us what he wants today. Father, we come to you at this moment knowing that you are present. Christ, I ask that you would just be seen today. Spirit, would you lift up Jesus Christ above every name in this place? God, would you show us the incredible security that we have in your Son? God, would we be challenged? Would we be convicted? God, would we be renewed and even just recreated by your word in this moment? God, for those of in this room that do not know you, God, I pray that you would just draw them in this time to yourself, to a love that's just unimaginable, that's deeper and wider, higher, longer than just anything we can imagine. God, would you do your work in your way in this room? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this passage is about the mind of Christ. Paul tells us, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus in this passage. This whole book, he has been designed to get to this point. He's wanted to show them this. At the very beginning of the book, he tells them, hey, he who began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete it. This is kind of what completion looks like. This is what, when God works in our lives and he's changing us, he's sanctifying us, the aim of what we're getting changed into are these passages, in this passage in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. We're going to move out of a life of selfish ambition and conceit into a life of service, humility, and love. This is like selfish ambition and conceit. It's kind of just how we're like wired in our natural kind of fallen self. We want stuff for ourselves. We want those things to define us. We have that selfish ambition. We have this conceit about who we are. But man, God's asking us to put that away. Put those, that's like a life of insecurity. He's asking us, man, come into this freedom with Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is, Paul begins this section by, listen to this. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, if there is any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. This passage is an amazing way to start as a pastor. It's like, hey, if you've ever felt any love from Jesus, pay attention. So let me ask you, have you ever felt any love of Christ on your life? Yeah, I hope a lot of you are like, you know what? I've experienced at least a little bit. Paul's saying, pay attention. If there's been any participation you've had in the Spirit or you've seen God work in your life and in your community, he says, pay attention. This is a perfect way to get everyone's attention. It's like he says the most basic things about the Christian walk, which is, have you just felt a tinge of Christ's love towards you? Pay attention. If you've felt participation in his body, if you've been comforted, do this. So he's going to say, look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. He goes, well, one is he starts with that unity, but then he says here, do not do this. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. He begins with this broad statement that really applies to any single Christian, anyone that's come into contact with Jesus Christ. We've participated in his love. We've been comforted by it. We've seen the participation of the Spirit. We've tasted in that. And so he says, man, be of the same mind, same heart, same love. And he begins by saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition and conceit. Now, this is if you consider this, it is a weighty thing to say. Selfish ambition and conceit are two of the hardest things on this planet to see in yourself. This is not just something that you're like, yeah, I get it, I know it. You can like know these words and be completely blind to your own heart. Selfish ambition can look like a really good life. Paul in chapter 3 is going to warn you about some people, and he's going to warn you about some very good people. He's going to say, I was one of them. He's not baptized as an infant, but he was circumcised on the seventh day. You know, in the right family, in the right part of town, he did all the good deeds. Actually, he's blameless according to the law. And he's saying, watch out for these people. Because you know what his life was defined by at that point? Selfish ambition and conceit. He had this drive underneath the soul of his life. He had this drive for like this ambition that was all about self was at the center of it. Selfish ambition and conceit are really impossible to be seen without prayer, without stopping and considering what God's doing in your own life. They're not. It's easy to get things like, "Hey, don't steal," down. You can do that, I think, in some ways without prayer. You can be like, "Okay, I get like what stealing is. I'm not going to do that." Selfish ambition and conceit, it's impossible to do that without your life being reflected on. It's impossible. And so the first challenge here is to go, man, the mind of self is the hardest thing to see in ourselves. So when I'm saying, hey, when Paul's saying, live out of the mind of Christ, not out of the mind of self here, it's actually a very hard thing to see in your life. It takes a community of people. It takes time to be in prayer, to consider what's going on underneath the surface of our own lives. This idea of do nothing out of selfish ambition and conceit, when I've like thought about this passage this week, it was easy for me to see selfish ambition and conceit in a lot of areas of my life. When I really start digging, it's like, man, there's just something in myself that has this drive to be, again, it's kind of out of an insecurity. It's like, man, if people knew kind of what I did, they might like that. Or, man, if I can get to this level, you know, if our church could do this and that. Man, it's a weird ambition and conceit that can sometimes be underneath that. And even good things. What Paul is saying, do nothing. That is the mind, that defines the mind of self, is selfish ambition and conceit. The mind of Christ looks so much different. It looks like humility, service. in love. And that is what he is longing for. So he says this in verses 5-7. Look, he starts with the hymn. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. This is the beginning of this incredible psalm. And this psalm, or this song that is being sung, has some language that I think we need to understand. First was this word, form. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God. This word form is the word, the Greek word underneath it is morphe, which is, which means he was in essence. He was the same essence of God. Some of us would go, man, that looks like the form of a man. But you get up to it and it's like maybe this, you know, tree or plant that's in the shade, it looks like a form of a man, but it wasn't a man. It was the form of a man. Do you know what I'm saying? So the form here, it's not saying Jesus, who was in the form of God, he kind of looked like God, but he wasn't. That's not what this is saying. This is saying the Greek word here, form or morphe, is saying Jesus was the very essence. Not just he looked like God, no, he was completely God. The mind of Christ here is the mind of God. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours. That alone is worth thinking about. This mind is ours. The mind of Christ is ours. The mind of God is ours. He was the very form of God. And what did he do? He emptied himself. This is the word I want us to think about today, is the mind of self and the mind of God. There's a huge difference between these. One is trying to grasp. The mind of self is always trying to grasp something. It's always trying to fulfill and fill your life with something that you don't have. You need more. I'm hungry for this type of thing. I need this satisfaction in my life. I'm trying to grab it, get it. The mind of God, the step to the mind of God, you know what it begins with? Is emptying. The word empty is a very scary word for, I think, a lot of us. You know, the World Health Organization just defined burnout as an actual syndrome this year. You know, they say it's a chronic kind of depression in your workplace. They actually mentioned, I wrote this out here, it's feelings of energy, depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job, and a reduced professional efficacy. It's like the World Health Organization sees like what we might call emptiness as like a real fear. Like, man, burnout is a syndrome now, right? According to the World Health Organization. A lot of us, when we think about, man, you want me to be empty, Tanner? You think of a complete, like, kind of barren wasteland. You might think more of emptiness in the terms of being totally depleted. I'm on empty. I have nothing left. I'm glad Paul in the early church sang this hymn, because the life of emptiness is a life, the Christian life is a life of paradox. When we are empty of self, we are full of what? The Spirit. And when we are full of self, we are empty of the Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. It's like when we are empty of self, we are full of the Spirit. And we are full, when we are full of the Spirit, I mean, when we are full of the self, we are empty of the Spirit. There's a paradox in Christianity, and Jesus shows us the way. Today, we've got to, what Paul wants us to do is just look to Jesus. Look to him. Look at his security. He was the very essence of God. And he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Think about his life. Think about what the emptied Jesus did on this earth. Luke tells us this. Luke 4 says this, one. It says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. See, Jesus was not empty. Jesus was not empty. He was full of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Jesus is teaching us what it means to be fully human. To live a life of complete emptiness is to live a life of complete fullness by the Spirit. Even Luke goes on to say in chapter 5, 17, he says, on one of those days he was teaching. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Jesus was full of this power, and his power was from the Spirit. He was doing these things led by the Spirit. The emptied life, look at his emptied life. Look at what he did by giving up. Was this a life of like weakness? Ask those 5,000 people, men on the side of that mountain. They had nothing to eat. And the emptied Jesus Christ takes loaves and fishes from this young boy. And the empty life of Jesus feeds all of them. Thousands upon thousands. And there's tons of leftovers. Look at his emptied life and see what he accomplished. He told Talitha to get up from the dead. He called out Lazarus from the dead. He healed multitudes by the power of God. The empty life is the full life of the Spirit. It is not one of just like, man, this is going to be like a desert to me. When Paul's saying he emptied himself, he's just looking at just such a different type of life. No, he's like, look at Jesus Christ. Look at his life. He emptied himself and look at his ministry. It is really encouraging to us because you know what? Jesus even told us the same thing. It's better that I go from you. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit. And strangely, what did Jesus say? You'll do greater things than I. The empty life is a life of power. This is the paradox of Christianity. To be empty of yourself is to be full of the Spirit. And to be full of self is to be empty of the Spirit. When you are full of yourself, you are in so many ways empty. And your soul longs. It thirsts for God as in a dry and weary place. Some of you, you've lived life with self at the center. And if you would just consider for a moment, I can tell you, I know where you are. You are thirsty. Your soul is parched. You were designed and made for the living God. You were made to be full of his Spirit, to be filled with the very Spirit of God. This morning, Paul is saying, look at Jesus Christ. Look at the mind that he has. He was the very form of God. Did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He just didn't have to grab on. He was not insecure. He emptied himself and he made himself nothing. This is the path for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. It is the way to nothing. That is in total opposition to selfish ambition. To literally, to have the mind of Christ Jesus is to be opposed to selfish ambition and conceit. When your goal is to make yourself nothing, that is opposed to that selfish ambition and that conceit. The mind of Christ is the mind of love. We look at Jesus Christ in his life and we see that his way downward was the way of love. I mean, consider how he thinks of you. Consider that. Consider how he thinks of us. This hymn shows us. He did not account equality with God a thing to grasp, but he emptied himself and he made himself nothing. You know why? Because he was considering some interest in this room above his own. Paul tells us this is the depth to which he went in verse 8. He said, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Look at his mind. Look at the mind of Christ. This passage just continues to go lower. It begins with him. He's the very essence of God, the very form of God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, so he empties himself. He makes himself nothing, and he keeps going. He becomes human. And being found in human form, he becomes even obedient to death, death on the cross. Why? He tells us in his gospels, he is being led by the Spirit of God. You know who's given him his plans? The Father. He tells you all throughout his ministry, I only do what I see my Father doing. You know what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were doing? They were reconciling us to themselves, to the triune God. They were working every single ounce of it by the plan of the Father, by the action of the Son, by the empowerment of the Spirit. He was becoming obedient even to death, death on the cross, so that he might be in relationship with you. This life is not a life of emptiness. The life in the mind of Christ is a life of fullness. It's life of fullness with God. It is a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This empty life is a life that has great love to the world around us. Paul tells us, church, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others as more important than yourselves. This is the life of love. Which life do you want to have? Do you want life with self at the center? Where your insecurities kind of just drive you to get and have and be and do? Or do you want the mind of God, the mind of Christ that says, I am completely loved by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I lack nothing. I want to give whatever I have, I want to empty it away. I want to empty myself. I want to follow the way of Jesus Christ, the way of love that would put others' interest above my own. this world needs this mind. And you know who has it? You do. If you believe in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us here, have the mind of Christ, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, when he died and rose again, he gave us this mind. We have complete access to Jesus Christ. We have his spirit that is indwell us. In his death and resurrection, everything that was needed for our sin and our salvation was accomplished. He put away our sin. He gave us his righteousness. And he gifts us the spirit that empowers us to live out of this mind. We have access to this mind. We can walk this way. Next week, I'll give you a little preview. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know how you do that? Because God works in you. You work it out, God works in. It's like we can do this. You know why we can do this? Because God's working. He's working underneath the surface. He's given us this mind. This command is not impossible. This command is hard. And this command demands that we sit and we consider, what ways is selfish ambition and conceit ruining my life? What way does it ruin and have its effects in my marriage? What way does it have its effect at work? What way does it play itself out in my community? The only way we can see that is to stop, to consider, to be with God and say, God, reveal to me where selfish ambition and conceit are just ruining things. Let me have this mind. Look, to be empty of self is to be full of the Spirit. And to be full of self is to be empty of the Spirit. What I long for you this day is to be full. It's not to be empty in the way that we think. It's to be completely full and be filled by God's Spirit. That is life. In him was life. Jesus Christ gives us his life. And this is what I long for each and every one of us. Consider this last piece of Philippians in verses 9 through 11. Paul, as he shows the way down of Christ, where he ultimately becomes obedient to death, he ends with this. He says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love this. The way of Jesus Christ ends not in death, but it ends in complete exaltation. Complete exaltation. That is what, to have the mind of Christ, we first have to have Christ. And he has made the way. He has made the way. He has defeated death. He has defeated sin. He has defeated Satan on his cross. And he rose victorious by the very power of the Spirit over death and resurrected. He has ascended into heaven, and right now he is seated in the heavenly places. And he is reigning. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God looks at him and is glad to give him the name that is above every single name. One day, every single knee, every tongue will confess his name, that he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is victorious. To have the mind of Christ, we have to have Christ. Well, how do we have Christ? You know what? He did it. Christ did it. It's not up to you, honestly. Jesus did it. On his death, he goes, it's finished. You want the mind of Christ? It's finished. You've got it. Why don't we accept it? the Bible gives us language of, why don't we receive Christ? For some of us in this room, you might not have ever done that. You might not have considered what Jesus Christ has done for you, what God the Father wanted and longed for you, what his Spirit was doing kind of in your life. He's for you. He has loved you. He is wooing. He's calling you to himself. And he's saying, why don't you move from a deeply insecure life with self at the center to life with me, to abundant life? This morning, would you consider receiving him? The Bible tells us that whoever confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, he will be saved. Why don't this morning you consider doing that? For those of us who have been Christians for a long time, where have you been ruled recently? Have you been ruled by self, or have you been ruled by the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit, walking by the power of the flesh? Just consider that in your prayer life. Consider that as you put yourself in front of God. I invite you to the way Paul wants you to live. Listen to how Paul puts it, okay? Remember this, verses 1 and 2. If you've had any encouragement from Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love and being of full accord of one mind. So if you've had any love, if you've had any participation in his Spirit or any affection and sympathy, let's get on board. Let's have this mind. Let's have the mind of Christ, not the mind of self. Let's, in our communities, push each other into that. Hey, that kind of sounds more like ambition than making yourself nothing. Hey, that sounds more like conceit than emptying yourself. Let's push one another to have this mind that is ours in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we do come to you again today, and we ask that you would work your word into our hearts and root it where we need it. God, would you help us see where we have been living out of ambition, conceit? Would you show us your way? Jesus, we love you. Would you be exalted in this place? It's in Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen.